Kerry Peck, the elder law attorney, is a popular guest on this show. He's in our studio today to answer your questions about some of the issues that may be impacting your family. Usually I just ask Kerry about my family because my parents are aging, and Kerry's the expert on elder law, which is a specialty that I only discovered even existed when I first met you, Kerry. How are you today?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Are a lot of people practice elder law? Like, is that something? Is that just something you've created?
Well, I think I can say that I probably was the first in Chicago, because when we started talking about elder law, everybody went, "What are you talking about?" And so, you know, today there's a lot more people. There's a National Association of Elder Law Attorneys. There's a variety of professional groups now. I was on the board of that organization. And, you know, that the focus of that basically is protecting older adults, protecting their assets, trying to help their families deal with the issues affecting older adults, which might be Alzheimer's disease, other serious medical issues. And of course, ultimately, you know, too many of older adults end up in nursing homes and issues relating to that, contracts, things of that nature, Medicaid.
About those people that are in some sort of nursing facility or elder care facility, the concern is that maybe they're not getting the care that they should. Maybe you... It's funny because my dad slipped the other day and he cut his arm. His skin's a little thin. It was bleeding a lot. And so they had to go to the doctor and get it stitched up or bandaged up, whatever. And then a couple weeks later, a guy from the state of Illinois was kind of hanging around their apartment or their building. And when he saw members of my family, he said, "Hey, I wanted to talk to you about what happened to your dad." And we were like, "Who are you? And what is this?" But we concluded, and it wasn't even clear to my sister, she's the one that had this encounter, that it was maybe somebody from the hospital who filed a potential abuse report, and now the state was checking up on it. If that's the case, however mysterious to us, we were encouraged that that had happened. I didn't. It seemed to me like Illinois doesn't have the resources to do anything they should be doing. That this process was playing out before our very eyes made us feel good, even though it wasn't a case of abuse. Dad just happened to slip.
Well, there is what we call an organization called Adult Protective Services, and you can file an Adult Protective Services complaint. You know, as chair of the Illinois Supreme Court Elder Law Commission, we're taking a close look and intend to take a close look at the Adult Protective Services issue. You point out, I think appropriately, Illinois doesn't have the resources, regrettably, to deal with all these issues. Today, if the alleged abused adult doesn't want to cooperate with the investigation is closed. And that's just not the way to do things.
But is there a process? I mean, do you think what I described is what happened, that somebody at the doctor's office or the emergency room filed a report and the state was following up on it, or maybe not?
I honestly don't know the answer, but it certainly could have been that.
It could have been an attorney who was looking to make some money.
Well,
I don't know if that happens or not.
I'm not going to comment on that. I don't know the answer. But certainly there are a lot of attorneys that are bringing appropriate cases against nursing home
100%.
Facilities.
No, I wouldn't have minded if that was the case either. But again, it was benign, right? It wasn't what it appeared to be. It was just a simple accident. And then everybody went away. I don't know. To this day, I don't know who that guy was. And I don't know if my sister did either. She said that he presented himself as something like, "I'm Mr. Smith from such and such and such." And, you know, went right by. She didn't catch it. And so now we're just kind of wondering if we should be, you know, encouraged by that or careful about that.
Did he produce any credentials?
I don't think so. That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So if your listeners have cases involving, you know, loved ones that were injured or hurt in nursing homes, we work with other law firms that do that type of work on a regular basis.
Does that happen very often?
It happens quite a bit.
I don't understand that, Kerry. I mean, Is it neglect because they're understaffed, or are they angry and they're literally abusing these people? What happens?
Well, regrettably, there are circumstances of both. Some are abuse. I don't think that individually, you know, most people wouldn't tell you it's intentional, but it certainly happens. And I think they're understaffed. It's negligence. It's negligence. The wrong medication, the wrong type of treatment. They fall out of bed. They fall en route to the cafeteria, things of that nature. And some of them are very, very serious injuries.
Our number is 312-981-7200. If any of this is your world that we're talking about, you can call or text, and Carrie will give you an opinion or comment on that. You are also working with the Alzheimer's Association, right?
I am. I am pleased to say that the Alzheimer's Association has named Peck Ritchie, my law firm, as their legal education partner. And so that means that we continue to do programming in the world of Alzheimer's to teach people how to deal with the circumstances that they face, both from a legal perspective and then, of course, the medical perspective, which is not in our arena, but the legal side is. And, when a loved one is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, everybody focuses on the medical, as I understand they should. They're stunned. They're upset. But they really need to get to the legal issues that go along with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, and they need to get to them right away. In addition, the Alzheimer's Association, this is the season for walk with the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah, sure. You see them
all
around.
WGN's a longtime media partner. My office is a longtime partner. So, get out and walk with the Alzheimer's Association. Join a team. Go online. Get out there and help the Alzheimer's Association so they can continue to help everyone in the community.
312-981-7200 for your questions along these lines. Can I throw a couple at you?
Absolutely.
Hey, Carrie Peck, my 80-year-old father remarried last month. Does his trust need to be updated? Will his wife get everything now?
Well, I'm sorry to say that multiple marriages and late in life marriages like this lead to nothing but courtroom battles. And it's a great question, and the answer is you need to see what the documents say. You need to consult a lawyer to see if they should be changed. Wives have standing and certain rights under the law, whether they're named or not in a will. So this is really important. You need to jump on it right away and consult an elder law attorney.
But could a trust preempt the second wife, the late-in-life wife, from getting what she would have otherwise if she had been married to him all along?
Well, wives have what we call in Illinois a statutory share. Okay, so that means that in this example, this 80-year-old man is going to lose a minimum of one-third, perhaps a half, to the second wife. And so the children of the first marriage are going, where's mine? And that's, at the end of the day, that's what this is about. And as you can tell from the question. So,
well, if it says here, my 80-year-old father remarried last month. So the dad and the new wife are alive. Does his trust need to be updated? So then suppose he passes first. It would seem to me like if that was a normal marriage, wouldn't everything go to the wife? I mean, Brenda would get everything if I were to pass, right?
Depends what your documents say. You probably want to... your will, your trust, depends what your documents say. Okay. Most people want to provide for their spouse and their children.
Okay, so if dad at the age of 80 is going to get married to somebody who, by the way, is 34 and she's from Poland.
Of course.
Okay, then we could say, Dad, this is great, but can we work with you to ensure that we get our fair share? God, that sounds awful, but I mean...
Yes. The answer is yes. And try and do it up front. Try and get the family to agree, because I can tell you, John, in my law firm, we litigate these cases in the courtroom every single day.
But shouldn't that late in life wife, maybe she's 80 as well, by the way, shouldn't she be entitled to some of the assets? I mean, we're married. Shouldn't she get some of the stuff?
Obviously, the 80-year-old husband needs to make that decision. But what I'm telling you is if he doesn't make that decision, the law says a wife gets a percentage.
Okay, but is it, and I don't care about this, but can the late-in-life wife get nothing?
Probably not. And they're all, I've never seen a late-in-life wife accept nothing or agree to nothing.
Well, but I mean, maybe the kids say, okay, Dad, fine, but we want everything to come to us. Mom's passed away. This is your new wife, but we want everything to circumvent the new wife and come to the children.
Won't happen.
Really?
Won't happen. As much as you and I are living and breathing, it won't happen.
And listen to me. Really, like, I'm not even sure that should happen. Because, here again, suppose the relationship between the 80-year-old guy and this other woman, whatever her age is true. They love each other. They like their companionship. That's marriage to me, and I don't know that you should exclude that new wife from the assets just because she came along late in the game.
Unfortunately, we see a lot of scenarios where these late-in-life marriages are, they love the money more than they love the man.
And that's a judgment that I don't know has to matter. I mean, if the man loves whatever he's getting out of the relationship and she loves the money, then I'm not sure it's the kid's place to determine what happens to Dad's assets. It's his money, right?
It's his money, but I can assure you that those children are going down swinging in order to get Dad's assets.
And you know, I'm not saying that the kids are money grubbers. I mean, it's just as logical that you would expect that someday you would acquire some of the assets from your parents. So this is the conundrum, isn't it?
It is a conundrum, and it comes with a lot of different wrinkles. Sometimes that late-in-life wife ends up being the caregiver that was in Dad's home. Sometimes it's somebody that works in a nursing home. Sometimes it's the delivery lady. Sometimes, the circumstances go on and on and on.
Kerry Peck, the elder law attorney, is here. PeckRitchie.com is his website. The number is 312-201-0900. Kerry, this person says, when the first person on your directives, such as power of attorney, has passed away, well, that's interesting, is it the second person on the directive that is now in charge, or do I have to consult an attorney again to get that changed?
So here in Illinois, we have two types of powers of attorney. Powers of attorney are a really important, critical part of your estate plan. A power of attorney is a document that you name someone to make decisions for you when you're not capable of making decisions. And in Illinois, they come in two flavors. One is a power of attorney for health care. So when I can't make my own decisions, perhaps I name John to make my health care decisions. Or a power of attorney for property, which is the management of all of my assets. If you name a successor agent and your first agent dies under the terms of your power of attorney, you need not consult an attorney. Your successor agent, the second person you name, takes over.
That's good to know. By the way, you wrote a book, Don't Let Dementia Steal Everything. Avoid mistakes, save money, take control. People can get this book how or where?
You can get that book online. The American Bar Association asked me to write that book, and I'm very proud to say that our Chicago's own, you know, extraordinary author, Scott Turow, wrote the foreword to the book, and actually he cites passages from his books. So take a look at that. Don't Let Dementia Steal Everything. And I wrote two books for the American Bar, one for lawyers. This one is not. This one is for non-lawyers.
Yeah. You have in here a VA benefits checklist. My dad is a veteran. You know, I talk about him on this show once in a while. He's late in life. He's progressing through dementia. And so we are trying to get him all the benefits that are available to him. You have a checklist here of all of the things for which a person could get their expenditures covered, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's this is my dad. I mean, every kind of physician, it appears. Anesthetist, arch supports, artificial limbs, back supports, braces, cardiographs, chiropractors, dentures, eyeglasses, crutches, insulin treatment, lab tests, chairs, all of these things, if you are a veteran, what, I can file for?
Yeah, you can file for a VA claim, and certainly I would encourage all of our listeners, and you certainly, John, with your father, file VA claims. You know, the Veterans Administration, I think, is eager to make sure that veterans are taken care of.
I think they're eager to do it, but they've also set up a process that is slow, and it's a pain in the butt.
Agreed.
We are looking for dermatology records from my dad from years ago. I'm like, are you serious? Really? I mean, what? So, it's a paper trail. I mean, what advice do you have for people? If you're a veteran or your parents are a veteran, what advice do you have for them?
Well, you're right, John. It's a bureaucracy, and it's difficult to navigate. And beyond that, you know, I've tried to provide the basic information.
This is very helpful.
You know, the book is a resource book, and it's really the kind of scenario that, you know, you want to pick it up and use it as a starting point.
I should have looked at this years ago, because my dad retired from the Air Force a long time ago. As he got older, this would have been very helpful. 312-981-7200. Patrick, you're on with Kerry Peck. What can we do for you?
Hello there. I had a question that with respect to surviving spouses being able to renounce and take a statutory share. What happens? Can they do that also with trust assets?
In general, the answer is no.
Explain the question to me, Kerry.
Sure. Okay. So the facts appear to be that someone dies and the wife is not provided for in a will. Is that correct, sir?
Or not to the point that the surviving spouse would like to be provided for.
There you go.
And some of the assets are in a trust, a living trust that we use in estate planning today, a revocable living trust. You put your assets in a revocable living trust to avoid probate. Probate is a post-death proceeding. If you die in Illinois with assets in excess of $100,000 in your name alone, it has to go into a court proceeding. So, in general, sir, the answer is only the assets that are outside the trust will be subject to the statutory revocation or renunciation. And what he's saying, John, is if the spouse is not provided for or she doesn't get what she believes she's entitled to, can she renounce the will? And the answer is yes. And under the renunciation, under the Probate Act, she's going to get a minimum of a third, perhaps as much as a half.
How is she able to do that? It's not her will. It's the deceased's will.
But the law provides, as you suggested,
yeah,
that a spouse is entitled to some recompense for the marriage.
So does that help you, Patrick? Is that a concern
of
yours?
I was just curious. It's not a point. It's just a hypothetical. But one last point I want to make is as I was on hold, you made reference to the VA and the veterans. And all I can say is in the last years of my late father's life, they helped us so much. It was a pain in the rear end to get him into the system. But once we did, they sent a nurse to the house once a week. He needed physical and occupational therapy, so we were like the royal family getting him over the Hines VA. But they provided all kinds of equipment also, and I will never let anybody badmouth the VA in my presence.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you were able to do that. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
My sister's been working that part of the... We've all been... tasked out to various chores to help care for my parents. And Jean's been working on that more. And the person that she's working with has her buddy. You know, she's happy about that. But I think they're both frustrated, just the rigmarole that the system puts them through.
I'm sure.
John, my mom has passed and my dad will not do a will or trust. What are our options?
Well, if dad is competent, and won't do a will or trust, you have no options. Dad dies subject to what we call the laws of fancy words, intestate succession, which means that basically if you have three children, for example, all three children are going to get one-third of the estate, but the assets are going to have to be probated unless they're all in joint tenancy.
When stuff goes into probate, then does the state take some of it or just the state processes it and it takes longer to resolve?
The state does not take any of it, and the state generally is not involved in a probate process unless the state has a claim of some kind.
Sure. Understood. We're out of time, Kerry.
Okay, John, thanks for having me.
That book is called Don't Let Dementia Steal Everything, and this is a good resource guide, and you can get it by going to
Go online, go on Google, go to the American Bar Association.
Click in.
And if we can help you, please call me at 312-201-0900.
312-201-0900. PeckRitchie.com. Kerry Peck, it's always interesting to have you in the studio. Thank you, sir.